We went to all the historical places in Baltimore. One day we went to see the Memorial House on Amity Street where Edgar Allan Poe lived here in Baltimore. We climbed up narrow circular stairs to the second story, and in a very small room, there was a big bed with big feathered pillows. The home is on a narrow street in a colored neighborhood, and a little colored girl with long wiry pigtails and big red bows said, "Golly, did dat man sleep in dat bed?" And she started thumping the bed before the guide could stop her. It was very amusing. I smiled and laughed to myself. Down the street, not far from there, is the graveyard where the great writer is buried, the Westminster Presbyterian, and also at Fayette and Green Street is the Edgar Allan Poe School, named in his memory. I was eager to see where Mommy taught after graduating from college, and I had to hear about it all. I was very interested. Mommy told me about the class, children from 15 to 50. She taught night school there, high school English, and many students were employed people. How proud I was of that. Everything Mommy ever did, I wanted to know all about, and I never got tired of listening. Another great writer is buried at the Episcopal Church Cemetery on Greenmount Avenue. Her name is Lizette Woodworth Reese. We sat in Mount Vernon Square and looked at the people and the pigeons. There are green benches there. And we looked at the George Washington Monument, which is in Mount Vernon Square, with heavy blocks of uneven large paving stones all around it. We went to the Pratt Libraries and the Flag House and the old Shot Tower near the Peale Museum, which was all the way downtown in Old Baltimore. We went to the Peabody Library and saw many interesting exhibits. Mommy did most of her studying there when she went to Johns Hopkins for her teacher's degree. There were fine study desks in back, and it was very quiet there. We went to hear concerts in the Peabody Concert Hall, and we heard the Baltimore Symphony at the Lyric. I remember the Vienna Boys choir singing beautiful Christmas music. I liked to hear choirs sing, and I liked to listen to Mommy sing, too. I liked to study about all the cities in America and all about the colonies, too. Our trips to Washington and to Annapolis taught me a lot about our history. We took a trip to Washington one day so I could see the buildings of the Capitol. I saw George Washington's signature, and I copied it when I got home because I remembered it. We went to Thomas Jefferson's memorial. Just think, he wrote the Declaration of Independence. When we walked up all the steps leading to the building, I thought how great a man he was and how much he did for our country. I was very quiet thinking about it. I looked at the beautiful dome and the white marble, and I got very serious because he was one of the fathers of our country. When we got up inside there, we read writing on the marble walls. Mommy said, "These walls are warm with love of humanity and sacrifice for ideals, Linda." She read the words aloud. "I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man." She explained what it meant. No one should try to be a tyrant over anybody else, but love God and try to do good for him, and love our fellow man and help him. Then she kept on reading. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed
by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. We solemnly publish and declare that these colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, and for the support of this declaration. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Almighty God hath created the mind free. All attempts to influence it by temporal punishments or burdens are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion. No man shall be compelled to frequent or support any religious worship or ministry, or shall otherwise suffer on account of his religious opinions or belief. But all men shall be free to profess and by argument to maintain their opinions in matters of religion. I know but one code of morality for men, whether acting singly or collectively. God, who gave us life, give us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever. Commerce between master and slave is despotism. Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people who are to be free. Establish a law for education, the common people. This is the business of the state to effect and on a general plan. I am not an advocate for frequent changes in laws and constitutions, but laws and institutions must go hand in hand with the progress of the human mind. As that becomes more developed, more enlightened, as new discoveries are made, new truths discovered, and manners and opinions change. With the change of circumstances, institutions must advance also to keep pace with the times. You might as well require a man to wear still the coat which fitted him when a boy, as civilized society to remain,
ever under the regimen of their barbarous ancestors. Then we walked into the outer halls, and I saw some beautiful pictures of Thomas Jefferson's home, Monticello, in Charlottesville, Virginia, in a Viewmaster slide machine. I just had to have it because there are all kinds of pictures you could look at in it. I wanted it so very, very much. I opened up my little green money purse, and I took out the money to buy it. Mommy bought the slides for me. After that, we looked often at the Jefferson Memorial and other Viewmaster picture stories. I had a nice little collection of slides after a while. It was a wonderful education for children. The pictures looked so real, and the machine was small and easy to use. One day, Mommy stopped at a seafood stand on the road to Annapolis. It was not far from Granddaddy's office in South Baltimore. Sometimes we could ride as far as the Baltimore and Ohio Camden station on bus number 22. That was near 122 Wesley Street, where Granddaddy had his office. The number 10 trackless trolley went all the way downtown, too. One day not long ago, Mommy drove there, again, to the seafood stand. Mommy saw a man come out in the cold. She thought he was one of the owners. She spoke very gaily to him and asked him how he was. I guess he was surprised, for he had just finished eating 6 Ocean Cove oysters, and he was a customer like Mommy. But he liked her being friendly like that, and he said, "I always stop here when I come from Virginia. They have the best oysters." Mommy didn't say anything about thinking he was going to wait on her, and she said, when he asked her how she fixed the jumbo shrimp she bought, "Oh, I split them down the back after I take off the shell and fry them in butter." He said, "Don't you like to cook them in egg and cracker meal?" Mommy said, "Sometimes." She thought he was a very kind man, and she said, "Do you always buy seafood here?" He said, "I'm a captain with the National Bulk, a federal line, and I like to buy the shrimp here. We get oysters that are just as good in Virginia." "What part of Virginia?" asked Mommy. "I don't know much about Virginia, but my grandfather settled a colony there somewhere when he came from Europe." "Oh, I'm from one of the early settlers' families. I own a royal grant of land in Gloucester County," he said. "I'm related to George Washington and to the Queen of England." Mommy perked up her ears and said, "Oh, that's very, very interesting. Will you tell me about it?" "I will be very happy to," he said. "My name is Captain Deal. I am descended from John Robbins, who came in 1642 to Gloucester, Virginia. He was first cousin to Augustine Warner. Margaret Smith was related to Augustine Warner's family. Margaret Smith married the 13th Earl of Strathaven in Scotland. The family name was Bowes Lyon, and that is Queen Elizabeth's family. Augustine Warner was the great-grandfather of George Washington. Margaret Smith was the daughter of John Smith of Purton in Gloucester County, which first became a county in 1650. It is north of the York River in Virginia. This river was named after the Duke of York. It was known earlier as the Charles River after King Charles II. The county was then called Charles River County. Gloucester County was the first county established north of the York River in Virginia. The colony was settled by the English. Mildred Warner, the daughter of Augustine Warner, was the great-grandmother of George Washington. Queen Elizabeth is also as closely related to Robert E. Lee as any person who is not directly descended from him. She is as closely related to George Washington as any living relative other than those descended from his brother's children. George Washington didn't leave any direct heirs. Robert E. Lee left direct descendants. Lee was the husband of George Washington's step-granddaughter. The estates of Warner and of Robbins are taken care of by the Society for the Preservation of Virginia Antiquities. The first charity school to be built in the world was Botort in Gloucester, Virginia. It was built on part of a royal grant to John Robbins, which was sold to Augustine Warner, who left it to found a charity school. After this, Mommy thanked Captain Deal and said it was a great pleasure to meet him. He said, "It's quite mutual." And just before Mommy left with her oysters and shrimp, he said, "I have spent time visiting more maritime countries on earth. I see how they live, what they have. Knowing what we have here, I know we've the finest country on earth for everybody. Everybody, that is, who wishes to take advantage of their opportunities. We give more of our divine gifts to all, therefore we receive more. We are all able to be divinely led. There are more ways to follow freely God's own pattern for our lives here in this great land of ours. I would fight for that right to the death." I remember now how, when we went to Washington to go sightseeing, I drew George Washington's name the way he wrote it. I wish I could have known him. He was a great man. He was the father of our country. I like to study all about the presidents, but mostly George Washington. In Washington, I read how President George Washington laid the cornerstone for the national capital on September 18, 1793. We went to Washington to visit, too. My mommy's sister, Aunt Dorothy, had two daughters, Barbara, Sue, and Joanne. We were each 2 years apart, and I was the youngest. All their clothes came to me. I had lots and lots of clothes. Sometimes I had too many clothes. I couldn't decide what to wear. Aunt Dorothy gave me very pretty dolls, too. She always bought good things, and she shopped very carefully. She gave me a tiny doll with long wavy hair. I named her Cauliflower, after the vegetable we eat. It's a pretty name. It has music in it. Barbara said, "Linda certainly is one for names." I never knew about Easter until I visited my cousins when I was 5 years old. Then we filled an Easter basket for each one of us. All the school children in Washington, D.C. did this. It was the Easter of 1947, the Easter of the year Granddaddy got hurt. I was staying at his home with Mommy to help take care of him. My cousins and I talked about Easter eggs and rolling them on the White House lawn in Washington. We learned how, in Dutch colonial days, there was the custom of cracking eggs in New Amsterdam on Easter Monday. One person held a hard-boiled egg in his hand, while another one tried to break it. The winner got the broken egg as a prize. Before Easter came, the shops in the colony were sure to place eggs in their windows. These were tied with red or blue ribbons. Some were colored. On Easter Monday, many people ate nothing but eggs. I always had Halloween parties, and I had a little Christmas tree every Christmas. It was my little baby tree, and it wasn't real, like the one I had when I had my tonsils taken out. But I never had an Easter party. I knew Halloween was for fun. I knew Christmas was for Santa Claus to bring presents. I didn't know all about Easter then and what it means, like I do now. I didn't know Santa Claus was Saint Nicholas, who loved children. I didn't know lots of other things then. Mommy always read, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" to me, and I knew all about reindeer. I always wanted to see real-life reindeer. They're so big and graceful with their beautiful long hair and big horns all twisted around each other. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen were my favorites. I hung Mommy's red ice skating socks that were all fuzzy over the fireplace mantle. We played Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on the Victrola and on the piano. Barbara and Joanne didn't celebrate Christmas. They had Hanukkah instead, and it is called the Festival of Lights. The first candle is lit at the top of the lights that go up like steps, eight of them to the top one. The ninth in the middle of them, was the one you had to light the other ones with. That is the way Jewish people have Christmas. Mommy liked Christmas because Granddaddy always gave her presents then. Easter meant new spring outfits to them, and they made Easter baskets. The Easter I went to stay with them for a couple of days, I felt very grown up. I packed my little suitcase Mommy gave me, and I kissed her and Grandmommy and Granddaddy and Aunt Lorraine goodbye and left. I left Mommy only 3 times in my life. Once when I went with my little suitcase to visit Aunt Dorothy, once when Mommy went to New York for 2 days and I stayed with Grandmommy, and once when I stayed one night with my friend Sandra. We were always together, Mommy and I. My uncle drove us in the car to 9 Normandy Drive, where they lived. This was in Silver Spring, just outside the city. My cousins had a playroom with lots of toys and a big dollhouse that had electricity in it. They had a wonderful dog named Skippy. She was a black and white cocker spaniel. Her grandsire was my own Brucie. Skippy was a connoisseur, Joanne said. She was very particular about her food. She couldn't be bothered with bones. You had to hold the bone for her so she'd eat the meat off of it. She would lay down and rest on her back with her paws up in the air. Her name was really Skippelina Ruth. Her real birthday was January 14th, but my cousins made a mistake and had her birthday parties on February 2nd. Aunt Dorothy boiled all the eggs for our Easter party. I cut out lots and lots of little pictures out of an Easter egg paper cutout book, and I pasted a dozen pictures on one egg. We had chocolate bunnies and yellow sugar baby chickens. How happy I was with my first Easter basket. I wouldn't let anybody eat any of the chocolate bunnies or little chickens. They were too pretty. They all got stale, but I didn't care. Aunt Dorothy tried to turn off my light at night, but I wouldn't let her. I always had a little light on at night. Mommy let me. She never let me be afraid. We went to lots of movies, and some of them were scary. But I was never afraid of the most horrible mystery stories. I liked comedies and mysteries best. Abbott and Costello and the Marx Brothers were funny, and all the Walt Disney movies were wonderful. I liked Cinderella best. Willie, the whale who sang at the Met, was amazing. We saw his vocal cords when he sang. They vibrated. It was really Nelson Eddy who was singing, though. We went to see Great Expectations in the Rose Garden at the Baltimore Museum of Art. I was so glad when Pip was able to be happy, because his life was sad. He was an orphan. The razor's edge was sad. I was very sorry for the poor mother who lost her child. There was a song in it called La Vie en Rose. It was my song and Mommy's. We always thought about the movie when we heard that music. But there was something very beautiful and happy in the movie, too, when we saw the holy man in the mountains and the music swelled up so sweetly. Then we could think of God and how he makes everything all right if we trust him and love him. We took lots of drives, and we went out Reisterstown Road all the way to Manchester, Maryland. We knew when we reached it because, in the countryside ahead, we could see 2 church steeples above the houses. We always stopped at Orsler's there for milkshakes and ham sandwiches. It was very clean, and everything tasted good there. The people were very pleasant, plain country folk. A few times, we drove to Westminster, Maryland. It's called the Little City of Faith and Security. Mommy said 3/4 of the city is banks and churches. There was lots of security there and lots of faith. I like to study about all the countries in the world. One day, when Mommy and I went for a ride out Reisterstown Road, we stopped at a fruit stand. We went there often because we like to drive out that road a lot. When we stopped on this day, a lady got out of her car and gave me some coins. She said she traveled all over the world. There are Canadian coins and an Egyptian coin. The Canadian penny had a maple leaf on it. We all talked about travel. Mommy told me Canada is a free country like we are. Our values are spiritual ones, Linda, and we believe man is the child of God. Our government is based on cooperation, not orders or commands. We need an honest lawmaking body to manage our affairs for us. Then we have balance of values and a free way of life, like Jefferson said. India and Egypt can have a democratic way of life, like ours too, said the woman who gave me the coins. They can have self-government and peace and the same traditions and the way of life to strive for what is just and best for the common good of all the people. I saw how the people of other lands live when we visited the museums. At the Walters Art Gallery, I saw an Egyptian mummy in a glass case. I asked Mommy about it. They use an embalming fluid to preserve the body and then wrapped it to keep air from it, she said. It's thousands of years old. Doesn't it smell? I asked. I guess it would, after it's opened. But it's inside the wrappings and hasn't decayed. That's how the Egyptians buried people. We saw lots of coins there, thousands of years old. One was a boy riding on a porpoise. Mommy said it was a coin telling about a myth or a legend. The best way to learn about yesteryear is to go to museums. At the Peale Museum, we learned about the artist Charles Wilson Peale and about early Baltimore. We saw fine paintings by Baltimore artists, and at the Maryland Historical Society, we saw how people dressed 100 years ago in Baltimore. They had parasols and ruffles and all kinds of fancy decorations. Mommy said those are the Victorian period, and she told me about Queen Victoria and her husband, Albert, and their children. When we took the trip to Annapolis in the Eastern Shore, I learned all about the colonial days in Maryland. Daddy and Mommy and I went to Annapolis together, and we went sightseeing. Daddy told us about the history of the Navy, and he talked about the attack transport he was on in the war. As we drove towards Annapolis, I saw the green dome of the State House. I don't know why it seemed to me I'd seen it before in a dream I had in Urbana. I didn't tell Mommy about that until much later. The view was so beautiful, with all the waters of the Severn River reaching out before us, all shining. First, we had lunch in the coffee shop at the Carvel Hall Hotel. Then we went to the Naval Academy Chapel, where the father of the American Navy, John Paul Jones, is buried. A big American flag was draped over his tomb. This chapel was domed, too. I once dreamed about buildings with domes, like these domes in Annapolis. The guide in the State House in Annapolis told us, "It is the oldest capitol in daily use, and it was finished in 1774. George Washington resigned as commander-in-chief of the American Army in the room of the old Senate chamber. In the same room, the Continental Congress ratified the treaty with Great Britain that ended the war. The dome that tops the building is the only all-wooden dome in America. In the building is the only American flag, Old Glory, that was carried in the Revolution and the War of 1812. The capital of Maryland was first at St. Mary's City in southern Maryland. The early settlers from the Ark and the Dove had landed at St. Clement's Island on the 25th of March in 1634. There were 320 people who landed from these two ships that left Southampton, England, November 22nd, 1633. The Indians were friendly, and there was lots of food, for the land was rich and the streams and bay full of fish. A Jesuit priest, Father Andrew White, said Mass. St. Mary's City had the first State House. The State House in Annapolis was built from 1772 to 1774. Annapolis has circles and narrow old winding streets, and it's quaint and quiet and peaceful and lovely. The sidewalks are uneven bricks, and there's ivy over the old buildings. Annapolis is on the Severn River at the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. I like to watch the sailboats in the breeze. The guide gave us two booklets. One told how Maryland was started, and the other one told all about the State House. I learned a lot of history from them. Maryland was founded in 1634 by Cecilius Calvert, 2nd Lord Baltimore. The charter was granted in 1632 by Charles I of England to George Calvert, 1st Lord Baltimore. Maryland was named for Henrietta Maria, the king's wife and queen and princess of France. freedom of worship was the rule Lord Baltimore made for the colony. In 1649, the Religious Toleration Act was passed. Maryland was the only spot in the world where worship was free and not commanded. Maryland is called the Free State. Maryland was one of the 13 original colonies and the 7th to join the Union. Maryland is bordered on the north by Pennsylvania, on the east by Delaware and the Atlantic Ocean, and on the south and west by Virginia and West Virginia. There is an old limestone boundary separating Maryland and Delaware. It stands nearly 4 feet tall and 12 to 14 inches in width. It was placed at Middle Point, the halfway point between the Atlantic Ocean and the Chesapeake Bay, by Mason and Dixon in 1768. Middle Point marked the spot from which a line drawn to the north sliced Delaware from the original Maryland colony. The stone has the seal of William Penn on its north and east sides and the seal of the Maryland Calverts on the west and south sides. The line was settled after a lot of meetings between Lord Baltimore and William Penn. At this middle point, the eastern shore was divided by a line running to the north. It ends now at the Pennsylvania state line. Today the stone marks the southwest corner of the state of Delaware and is the guide point for boundary lines separating Maryland and Delaware. My, all the arguments states had about boundary lines is like the lines separating our property apart from our neighbors. There are lines drawn everywhere, I said. As long as it's settled peacefully, it's all right, said Mommy, and went on reading out of the book about the state house. Then she said, the Green Dome is green because it's covered with copper that has weathered with age and storms. Then she said, in surprise, our Maryland flag is supposed to have a cross on top, for that is what the first one had. It's the same colors as the coat of arms of the English Church, the Anglican Episcopal Church. In 1692, that was the state church. The first service was held by colonists at St. Mary's City in Maryland in 1634. Red and white and black and yellow, there are the colors of our Maryland flag, and the red and white crosses in the flag stand for crosslands. They are crosses botany. The first church service in America was at Jamestown, Virginia, in 1607. The church began on May 14, 1607. 105 men landed on the shores of what was to become Virginia. In establishing Jamestown, Virginia, the first English settlers brought the Anglican Church to America. One of their first acts as a worship service was under an old sail hung between two trees with a bar of wood for an altar rail. One of the first buildings was the church. After a little while, we drove all around the town again and passed the St. John's College on King George Street. It was built in 1696 and is a great books college. It used to be called King William's School after the King of England. It is a very beautiful school with fine old buildings and old trees and beautiful lawns. We went on home. I was very tired, but I enjoyed the trip. I got in the tub with bath salts out of the glass bowl container with woolen eyes and eyebrows on it that my friend Cammie made for me as a present, and Sally Swan, my beautiful floating toy for my bath, made out of white and blue plastic. I soaked and rested. Then I went to sleep. I'm glad we took a lot of trips and drives to interesting places. My parents bought the car in August 1949, and I went back to school in September. In October, we found the house on Providence Road in Towson. We moved in around November 1, 1949. It was in Lock Raven Valley. Mr. Laird and Mr. Rock were the builders, and they had almost finished the house, except for painting the bedrooms. Mine was painted blue to match my blue and white French provincial furniture, and Mommy's and Daddy's was painted green to go with their Chinese Chippendale bedroom set that Granddaddy gave Mommy for her 18th birthday. Granddaddy gave me beautiful porcelains of squirrels and rabbits and girls and boys and an orchestra of Hummel children to decorate my room. He gave me a tiny tea set in china. He paid to have Mommy's evergreens moved from the house with the brook, and she was grateful to him. The man who moved the evergreens for us put some in the far back of the lot where there were lots of oak trees. There are oaks in front, too, and a beautiful tall birch tree with whitish bark. He put the biggest evergreen of all on top of the slope near the road. He put the little one I called my evergreen. It was so perky and green, and I liked it the best, on the slope next to the big one. They were so close that they grew into each other later on and leaned against each other all the time. There were lots of acorns all over the ground because of the oak trees. Acorns are fun to gather. There are lots of squirrels because of the acorns, and they make homes in the tall trees. There are many different kinds of birds, some with beautiful songs, and some of bright colors, too, red especially. Mommy and I loved evergreens and flowers. Granddaddy loved them, too. Around his house he made rock gardens and a big pool with water running over the rocks. Ferns grew around it and all kinds of woodland plants. When Mommy was at home with him before I was born, she went out at 6 o'clock in the morning with him to woods in the country of Maryland to find wild rock plants and flowers. They brought them back and planted them together. She had her own little rock garden with a pelican standing next to her little pool with lilies and goldfish in it. She studied all about plants and fish. The fish lived under the ice in the wintertime. Once they took a trip to Lily Ponds, Maryland. It is named after the opera star. The Three Springs Fisheries are there, and Mommy and Granddaddy bought lilies and fish. Mommy said it was most beautiful. She described the lilies and the lotus flowers to me, how they were lovely colors and rose up above the pads of leaves and looked so cool.